You wouldn't think the novel Lolita would go over big in an underground women's book club in Tehran. But literature, like the people who read it, has a way of surprising you. Azar Nafizi is the author of the celebrated memoir Reading Lolita in Tehran. She was an English professor at the University of Tehran until she was expelled for refusing to wear a veil. That's when she began meeting with a few of her former students at her home every week to talk about the forbidden classics of Western literature. She tells Steve Paulson about the first time they met.
It was like, you know, thinking that you're in love, but you're not sure. I mean, I had dreamt of having a class like this for so long, and now that it was about to be actualized, I was both worried about how they will react to one another, how they will react to the books we're reading, will they come to the next session, and at the same time, I was full of hope. So I prepared for it the way you would prepare for going to your first date.
You read some pretty racy stuff, especially Lolita. I mean, this Nabokov story of this 12-year-old girl who gets seduced by this very urbane but smarmy man who is her guardian. That must have been pushing the edge a little bit.
Well, actually, it is amazing with Nabokov. And one reason was that Nabokov himself had gone through that experience of totalitarianism. Although he left the Soviet Union when he was 19, he was obsessed with it. Now, the story of Lolita, as we read it, was not just the rape of a 12-year-old girl, but the fact that Nabokov chooses a narrator and a seducer who is not, you know, who on the first impression, you, the reader, are seduced by him because he rapes Lolita more than seduce him. But we are seduced because he's a poet. He's a sophisticated man. And he justifies keeping Lolita in his jail almost for 2 years and raping her and, you know, having sexual intercourse with her against her will by saying that she was vulgar and that she seduced him. The point of Nabokov here is that the biggest crime is to impose your own dream, because Humbert had been in love with a girl in his childhood when he was 13, and he was trying to resurrect that girl through Lolita. The whole point of the book is that you cannot impose figments of your imagination on other people's lives, no matter how vulgar or mundane their lives might seem to you. And this is exactly what the Islamic Republic did to us. They imposed the figments of their imagination on us, saying that wearing lipstick was a crime. Now, we might like or dislike wearing lipstick, but no state can impose its own image of what I should be on me. And that is, I think, the point of Lolita. Nabokov was, I think, one of the most popular writers we read.
The one thing that strikes me as you're describing this experience is how intense it was. And I would guess far more intense than what you'd get in a typical English class in America where theoretically anything goes. I mean, you can say whatever you want in the class, but somehow it's just not going to be as loaded or as vital as it sounds like it was in your home in Tehran.
Well, you know, not just in my home. I had this experience also when I was teaching at universities in Iran. There was a degree of intensity and eagerness to their students' reaction to these books that I never found in US. And I think that their own experiences of life over there, being deprived of the most basic rights, of the most individual rights, made them so sensitive to these works, which opened a new window towards beauty and individual dignity and choice. Just the fact that an individual could write the way Shakespeare can or the way Nabokov did, I think, is a miracle in itself. And my students in Iran felt that miracle. Once I gave a talk on modern novel at Tehran Book Fair, and it became so crowded that the security had to shut it down. It was almost like a riot, you know. Where else in the world today can you give a talk about modern novel or Madame Bovary and have people up in arms, you know? So it was an exciting experience.
You tell some remarkable stories, both about what happened in this private underground group in your home, but also about some of your experiences at the university. For instance, how Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby ended up on trial in your class. Can you explain what happened?
Well, that was during my salad years, actually, my first year of teaching at the University of Tehran. I was soon expelled because I refused to wear the veil that they meant mandatory. And I was teaching a book on great works of fiction, 20th century fiction. And actually, I was trying to be very fair. Along with Fitzgerald, I had people whom I really didn't like Maxim Gorky, even the Marxist Russian writer. But one day, one of the leaders of the Muslim Student Association, he stopped me in the hall and he told me how he hated Gatsby. And he went on ranting and raving about the immorality and decadence of Gatsby, and that we had just had a revolution in order to wipe these people out, and I was bringing them back. And I thought that, well, I was not about to give in to his demand, but I wanted also to not just use my authority as a teacher and say, no, you know, I'm going to teach Great Gatsby no matter what you say. At that time, we still had some liberties which were soon taken away from us during the Cultural Revolution. So I decided that I will give him a chance to bring this to the class, and I decided that we'll put Great Gatsby on trial. And he became the prosecutor, and a wonderful, yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, he was in such an awkward position, you know, because he didn't expect this. But now he had to become the prosecutor, and one of my wonderful girls, whom I never saw after that year, she became the defense, and the class forced me to become the book. The defense. Hmm. They said, you chose it, so you'll become the defense. And which we put Great Gatsby on trial.
So how did that work? how did the case for the prosecution proceed?
Well, I mean, I know I'm biased, but I really... he ranted and raved, and basically he was saying that Gatsby was propagating an adulterous relationship, and that was immoral, and that was a sign of American decadence. And also the fact that he kept saying, and one other student whom we had asked to be the judge kept saying that Fitzgerald loved the wealthy and he liked the rich people and he was against the oppressed. And the argument against it was that a great book goes sometimes even against the desires and aspirations of its own author. And no matter how much Fitzgerald in his own life might have loved wealth, in The Great Gatsby, the biggest villains in the book are Tom and Daisy Buchanan, because they're careless people. Because they force others to clean up after the mess they make. And this is the essence of The Great Gatsby.
So how did that episode end in your class? How did the trial of The Great Gatsby end?
Well, first of all, it became really heated. I mean, I gave them the defense and the prosecution kept interrupting one another, and you know, it became a shouting match, and I gave them a break. And I remember when I came in, they were still at it, and the girl was saying that, you know, you don't understand, I don't remember exact words, anything about freedom, because you call me a whore. And he was really mad, but what she was saying was true, because they were saying that any woman who did not dress or who did not act according to their dictates was a prostitute, was spreading prostitution. And others got involved in the story. And at the end of the class, she got up and she said that the most important thing she got from Great Gatsby was the pleasure of reading The Great Gatsby. And isn't that enough? And she asked the question whether when we read Moby Dick, do we go whaling? And when we read Great Gatsby, do we all run and become adulterers? That this is not the point of a great book. That it creates a dimension in us, creates a space in us that we've never had before.
Azar Nafizi is the author of the celebrated memoir Reading Lolita in Tehran. She currently teaches literature at Johns Hopkins University. Steve Paulson spoke with her.